song has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
It's Jerry Tagge calling signals after a 67-yard march.
Wiley stands at his own 24, waits for the snap. Rodgers deep for Nebraska. Here's Wiley's kick. It's high. It holds up there. Rodgers takes the ball at the 30. He's hit and got away. Back upfield to the 35, to the 40. He's to the 45.
He turns, flips it off to Rozier. Rozier turns, he's running back around the field. He's trying to get away. He's looking for blockers. He turns upfield. He's going to run a touchdown. Touchdown!
Some yards, snap with Tommy, and they give him the trap play, and it's Schlesinger inside the five. In there for the touchdown. He's got the touchdown. It's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger, and Nebraska takes the lead. It is history. 13-0.
Football time. It is day 12 of 12 of the Big 12 preview on the Doug and Daddy Show, and it's Nebraska all day today. Coming up fairly soon, we're gonna knock out some early sports here, then we're gonna get right into our Nebraska football roundtable with Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star, Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald, and Sean Callahan from HuskersIllustrated.com. We encourage you, if you've got a special question that you want to ask the panel, fire us off an email to the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. We welcome all the teams that are in Holdridge and Kearney for State American Legion Baseball. Class A and B juniors underway today. Class C in Wisner. Best of luck to Grand Island Home Federal and to Kearney Runza as they get ready to hit the road to Bellevue for the Class A state championships, which, again, we've got two state championships for Class A seniors. Why? Because obviously this one, the other one in Lincoln, why even bother? There's nobody there. There's like, what, five teams with less than 10 losses going to Bellevue? But anyway, they're just getting underway, about ready to get underway up at Memorial Field in the Class A juniors. And the first game of the day in the Class A juniors, Daddy. First game, 11 o'clock. So you know that they're probably throwing out the first pitch and doing the national anthem and doing the code of sportsmanship right now, getting all ready for that. Grand Island Wells Fargo is taking on Millard West. Then at 2, Lincoln Southeast against Millard South. At 5, Hastings will take on Papillion La Vista South. And at 8, Kearney will be taking on Millard West. The two-time defending champions from Kearney Post 52 will play at 8 o'clock. These are double elimination tournaments. Now, the Class B is already underway at Holdridge, Gretna, and Hirschland playing right now. Then Gehring and Valparaiso at 12:30. And should be two outstanding games tonight. You've got Perennial Powers, Blair and O'Neill going at 3:30. And Beatrice takes on Holdridge, who won their district, at 6:30 tonight. And Class C action today, Creighton takes on Twin Plains. Dwight battles Alma. Waterloo Valley against Davenport Edgar. and Wisner, the host, taking on Pender. And for the Class A seniors at 1 o'clock in Bellevue, Grand Island against Omaha Gross, 1 o'clock, Kearney will take on Bellevue East, the host, at 7 p.m.
And remember, should both those teams win or both those teams lose, they will face each other.
Grand Island, the same, seniors, yeah.
Same side of the bracket.
Again, the Shrine Bowl is tomorrow, 51st annual edition. We had a chance to have both of the head coaches on, Mark Bramer of Pierce, Jeff Gross of McCook. If you missed any of that, go to the Doug and Daddy podcast, which is located on our website at ESPNSuperstation.com, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. Big national story, obviously. Mark Burley, a perfect game yesterday for the Chicago White Sox, and it wasn't against the Royals.
You know, and what a catch in the ninth inning to save that perfect game. Saving not only a home run, but come down with the ball. And I think he had it long enough. I think they would have ruled it a catch regardless if he came down with the ball. Don't you think?
You would have hoped so. But the way the home plate umpire was squeezing Burley in the ninth inning, I had to wonder.
He gets the ground ball, and then all sorts of accolades. The president calls you, and just total mayhem erupts in Chicago. But, no, what a... The 18th ever in Major League Baseball history. 18th ever. And obviously he pitched a no-hitter before, but it's a perfect game. That's, I mean, you they say modern era. 18th in modern era. Well, modern era includes like 1905. It doesn't happen every day.
It's like when they started wearing bats. Again, not going to spend a lot of time but on some of these, but we do want to mention them. You know, again, Eric Casillas, who you love because he doesn't know anything except for football.
That's fine with me.
The NFL draft going to 3 days is a joke. It's an absolute joke. It's great for the first night, for the first round on Thursday. Nobody's going to pay attention after that. I'm telling you it right now. If you're going to have one round and set it aside on Thursday, that's all people are going to care about. They don't care who got picked in the fifth round. Yeah, it's going to pop up, you know, Saturday morning that, hey, Cody Glenn, who's going to join us on the show Monday, got picked in the fifth round. Zach Potter got picked here. You know, fill in the blank got picked here. Outside of the first round, how much interest is there in the draft? Do you watch all seven rounds? And you're the biggest nut with the NFL Network I know.
No, I don't watch all seven rounds.
All right. So after the first round.
So what difference does it make to you if it's two, three?
What's the point? Nobody's going to care about the rest of the draft now, is what I'm saying. You're going to watch the first night, you're going to forget about it. By Saturday morning, are you going to get up at 10 in the morning to watch round five? No.
I don't think that's true. If you're following a team, if you're a big Nebraska Cornhusker fan, and now granted there's not a lot of seniors on, I mean, seniors probably playing, obviously Sue looked to go early on Thursday night. I think you're following those kids and you're staying interested in it and involved with those kids. I mean, if you're a Florida fan, if you're a Texas fan, I certainly think you're watching that draft.
Well, you can pick up the Sunday paper and go online to Cowboys, you know, go to the Dallas Cowboys, see who they got. You can pick up the paper.
They're still breaking down the players and the positions and going over them all.
You're just not going to watch it. You're just not going to. You don't watch it now when it's 2 days and you got three interesting rounds Saturday and the rest Sunday. You're just not going to. You're not going to. You don't watch it now. What makes you think you're going to watch it 3 days instead of two? I think it's too bad. You know, if you want to do it Thursday, Friday, Thursday, Saturday, whatever, if you want to get that excitement in there where you got Thursday, you pick the first two rounds, then you give the teams a whole day to maybe work some trades out or get ready for what they need the rest of the draft, that's fine. They're beating this. It's the draft, people. Let's get down to it. It's the draft.
But I think you're combining the NFL Network and ESPN now, a little bit of Rich Eisen, I believe.
Well, this is no doubt an NFL Network-driven, we're going to make you buy us on your cable. I mean, that's another thing. The NFL is trying to sell their network, so we're going to drag it out even longer and put part of the draft on the network.
Well, damn them. They can't do that as a business?
Well, they're bigger than the United States Department of Justice, so they can do whatever they want.
Well, exactly.
Kansas City Royals.
And if you got DirecTV, by the way, you get the NFL.
Well, yeah. You know, what's that got to do with anything?
I'm saying.
What's that got to do with anything?
All I'm saying is if you want the NFL. If you want the NFL, you can get the NFL Network.
I know you can get the NFL Network. You can get every channel in the world if you want to. What does that mean? What does that got to do with anything?
If you're interested in that, you're going to watch
all. You have DirecTV. What, you want to do an hour commercial for him?
I'd love to.
Yeah, great, sweet. Unbelievable. Cox Classic is going on. Your leader right now is Matt Every. He shot 62 yesterday. He's 3-under through 13 today. He is at 12-under. J.J. Killeen and Garth Mulroy, who were at the top yesterday, are one shot back. So far, it looks like Rich Barrichello is red hot today. He's 7-under through 12, 9-under for the tournament.
We find our friend John Peterson, who was 2-under after the round, tied for 63rd. Obviously going to have to shoot that or just a tad better today if he's going to stick around on the weekend.
He did tee off at 9:05 this morning, and he's just keeping it steady. He had three birdies and one bogey yesterday. The weird thing is he bogeyed the par 4 ninth, which is reachable. That's where you've seen a lot of eagles, and he bogeyed that. He started on 10, and the last hole was 9. He bogeyed that, so he was 2-under, and today he's even through 6, so he's still at 2-under par, which puts him in a tie for 75th. The projected cut's 3-under. That will go up. Yeah, he's going to have to get to 4 and probably 5 to guarantee that he makes the cut today. And I don't remember the scores ever being this low in the Nebraska Amateur. Brandon Crick is at 13. John Hurley is at 12-under. Both shot 69 yesterday. Totally amazing. I don't ever remember it being that low right here. And so they're playing at Iowa to finish things up today. Just an outstanding golf between these two young men. Andrew Storm of Omaha, still in the mix. He's at 8-under. And yesterday, Ben Tews, who's now 4th of Lincoln, shot a 6-under 66, and so did Josh Reinertsen of Gibbon. Josh shot 81 in the first round, then 72, then 66. And those 6-unders were the low rounds of the day yesterday.
Look out, 59 today.
Josh, yeah. Josh Reinertsen, Andy Sajovic, and Alex Farrell of Kearney all tied for 13th entering the day with 73s on the scoreboard. So that's where we're at. And when we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show, we're going to get into Big 12 football. One other sports note, the University of Nebraska-Kearney wrestling team will have a duel at Nebraska this winter. The Huskers announced that yesterday. It'll be part of a double duel for the Huskers on December 19th. They'll take on Central Michigan at 2, and then they'll duel UNK on December 19th in Lincoln at 4. Mitch Sherman, Steve Sippel, Sean Callahan, all set to join us when we come back. The Husker Roundtable. Fire off your email questions to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're back after this.
Something wrong, sir? I will not tolerate this flagrant mockery of my intelligence.
Neener, neener, neener. Doug and Daddy will be right back to further insult your intelligence.
It's the one-of-a-kind summer sizzling sales event this Saturday and Sunday at Kearney Yamaha. Get hot deals like never before with prices so low they'll blow your socks off. Save up to $2,000 off new ATVs and motorcycles. That's $2,000 off, my friend. But you just don't save big on motorcycles and ATVs during the sizzling summer event. There are t-shirts for a buck, leathers as low as $10. You can also save up to 50% off on luggage. Wait, there's more big news. When you buy a new ATV or motorcycle this weekend, you get a chance to grab onto cold cash and keep it inside the cold cash cube. You'll be grabbing $1 bills, 5s, 10s, 20s, even $100 bills will be in there for your taking. That's the cold cash cube, and your only chance to get inside it is this weekend at the sizzling summer sales event at Kearney Yamaha. Open 10 to 5 on Saturday and noon to 5 on Sunday. Kearney Yamaha, just south of I-80.
If you've had the misfortune of never venturing inside the chicken coop, here's what you've been missing. The chicken coop is the perfect place to gather to watch sports because there are screens everywhere, and you can enjoy your favorite drinks, domestic beers, and microbrews. But the chicken coop is more than sports. It's also a family-friendly eatery that serves food like ribs, pizza, steaks, and wings. Speaking of wings, come in and try the two new flavors, jalapeno garlic and honey barbecue. Find out why so many people flock to the Chicken Coop, downtown Grand Island and downtown Kearney.
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam. Because upgrading your central air system to a high-efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high-efficiency Trane model at Fidelke Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a Trane.
From stuff you need to toys you want, ESPNSuperStation.com has an easy button to push and bid and buy from local merchants.
You're going to love it.
Gives you money to spend, helps the local economy, makes you look like a genius.
Does this kind of talk upset you?
Easy auction at ESPNSuperStation.com. Log on now.
Marlin is going to be home in Shelton this Sunday. Marlin and his Schroeder Smoke Foods Chuck Wagon will be in Shelton Sunday for the Shelton Car Show. Both the Chuck Wagon and Sidewalk Cafe will be open all day. Enjoy the show and your favorites at Schroeder Smoke Foods in Shelton.
If it's smoked, home fried, roasted or grilled, eat it in or get it catered. You'll be thrilled. It's a smoking good time at Schroeder's. Schroeder's Smoke Foods.
Sunny skies develop across the area through the day today with a slight chance of a storm late in the day with highs up in the mid-90s. Winds will also shift to the north late in the day at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight we'll see a slight chance for storms. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 82.
Doug and Danny show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, just a moment away from day 12 of 12 of our Big 12 preview and our Husker Roundtable. But when you're talking summer and then you're talking tailgating already, Daddy, you've got American Legion Baseball, and with Grand Island, Hastings, and Kearney all playing today, you want to watch them all, but you also want to maybe enjoy some time out at the ballpark. Why not swing by Troutman's Quality Meats before you head up to Memorial Park today? Brats, hot dogs, steaks, drop in for the best steak every time. And with the new construction that's going on here on 30th, take a little extra time to get here, or you can come in the back way, which Carrie does, and then just kind of sneaks up and puts a little extra seasoning on there and gets you ready to go. But Troutman's Quality Meats is a grill's best friend across from Bob's Superstore in Kearney. They're open 6 days a week to serve you. Give them a buzz if you need a special order. They've got all you want. Daddy, they got all these steaks and primes up there. What if they're too big? What if, you know, you just want, there's just two of you in the house?
Well, it's pretty simple. Pack. He gets this big damn knife out. Whack! Right in half.
So then you got two.
Manageable size for you and your wife.
Brats, hot dogs. Maybe you want some snack sticks to put in the tackle box or the golf bag. They're there for you as well. Troutman's Quality Meats. You can't do any better, folks. If you've been there, you know how great it is. And with the tomatoes you're telling me in your garden starting to come along, Daddy, BLT, great bacon, ham, whatever you want at Troutman's Quality Meats across from Bob's Superstore in Kearney. Nebraska senior defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh has been chosen as the Big 12 preseason defensive player of the year. Suh was joined by Alex Henry on the All-Big 12 team.
Unbelievable.
That's it. That is it. That's it, Daddy. This is the team picked to win the North. Let's get right after it. It's time for our Big 12 preview here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As Nebraska, of course, as we told you yesterday, was picked to win the Big 12 North. Oklahoma and Texas were picked to share the Big 12 South.
12 days. 12 schools. One child.
When they take their football seriously, don't they?
It's the Big 12 preview on the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal-Star, Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World-Herald, Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com all join us as we get together doing it again on the Doug and Daddy Show. And gentlemen, good morning to you all.
Morning. Good morning, guys. I'm Mitch and Sean. Doug, Daddy.
Is everybody ready to go to Dallas? I guess we'll start with you, Mitch. You don't get to go to Dallas. That's right. So you get to enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, it's really a get-to thing. It's more a want-to. I'm still on summer vacation, but for you guys, I'm making an exception and, coming on and talking some football.
That's outstanding. Sean, you're ready to go to Dallas. Sip, you're ready to go to Dallas. Let's jump right into it. Sean, first thing Monday, Huskers are there. What's the one thing that you want to know going into fall ball outside of who's going to handle this quarterback after Zach Lee? What's your number one question?
I might have lost Sean there.
Sean's in cell hell from what we understand. He's on vacation as well. Sip, let's go to you, buddy. You're coming into Big 12 Media Days. What do you want to know about this Husker program?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of different things. Wide receiver. A key position, obviously, with the quarterback having so much inexperience. You wonder who's going to develop at that position. You know, I'm looking at the interior of the offensive line. You wonder what's going to happen with Jacob Hickman, if he's going to stay at center, move to right guard. and start Caputo at center. Mike Caputo, the sophomore. I don't know. Nebraska's like a lot of teams in the North. There's a lot of questions.
Mitch, your thoughts?
Well, if you're talking specifically about Big 12 Media Days, one thing that I'm interested in hearing about, I'm not going to be there to see it in person, but I'd like to know how Roy Helu has done this summer, getting to run around with all that new weight on him. I know we had spring football, and we got to hear from Roy and see Roy, and he looked like a different guy, really, than he did last season when he was out there, putting together a really nice sophomore year. I want to see what it's like in fall camp and the heat, if he still is as big as he was when spring practice opened. There's always that kind of a story, it seems, not necessarily from a running back, but from a linebacker or a defensive end or somebody on the team, a safety, who's either put on a lot of weight, usually not losing a lot of weight. That's not the way you go in football, but adding a bunch of weight. And it always seems like it's good weight, or in most cases it seems like it's good weight. But until you get out there with those pads on and get into a game, I think it's really hard to tell. Is he going to have the same kind of quickness? Because that's a pretty important position in this Nebraska offense with a first-year quarterback is the I-back spot. And Roy Helu is the most versatile, experienced, I think, overall best player they have there. And I'm interested to see what it's like if he's 215, 220 as opposed to 195 or 200 like last year.
Our extended preview of the Nebraska football team, Sean Callahan back with us. Morning, Sean.
Good morning, guys. Sorry, I'm having phone trouble out here by Norfolk.
Well, that's what happens when you're on vacation, bro. Hey, I want to follow up on what Mitch said a little bit there. It seems like the last couple of years there has not been a lot of consistency as who the number one I-back has been for the Huskers. Has Roy set himself apart, or will Quentin Castilla be right there? Can Collins Okafor or somebody else get a few carries? What are your thoughts on that?
I think the days of having just one running back are no more. You need two quality running backs. Oklahoma should be the perfect example. They've got DeMarco Murray and Chris Brown, two 1,000-yard rushing backs. And for Nebraska, that's the ideal situation. I mean, maybe Roy Helu gets about 60%, but you need a guy like Quentin Castile to spell him and have that second back. I just don't think it's realistic to ever think you're going to have the back get 30 to 40 carries each week at a conference like the Big 12.
Guys, I think my first point of concern is those wide receivers making up the catches of Todd Peterson and Nate Swift. Hey, they may be more talented, more athletic, but to come down and have those sure-handed grabs on 3rd and 6, 3rd and 8, who is that guy for you, Sip?
Oh, I mean, I think the guys you look at immediately are Menelik Holt, senior. I get kind of concerned about Holt when you hear him say he had an up-and-down spring. You would hope that he would have, kind of stepped forward, and instead it sounds like he kind of struggled. Niles Paul, of course, you look at him, 23 catches last year. You got to really watch his Antonio Bell, a freshman, who obviously looked very good in the spring game. And then, I'm looking at a list of about 12 guys. I mean, they have a lot of guys. It's just a question of who's going to step up. I mean, is Brandon Kinney that guy? Is Chris Brooks that guy? Is Will Henry? Is Krinsky Gillian? Is Kyrie Cooper? Is Steven Osborne? I mean, there's a lot of players that are unproven or just need to really, really step up. I mean, the two guys you're looking at, Holt and Paul, they would have to double their production to match Swift and Peterson. So that's a lot to ask. And at this point, to me, it points to the importance of the development of the offensive line in the running game.
Mitch, Zach Lee is going to be the starting quarterback if he gets through fall ball healthy. And, of course, I think we're in the same situation that we were with Joe Gans last year. There's not a whole lot behind him with any experience, and not a lot of people nationally are giving Zach, of course, it's such a tough quarterback conference the way it is. How comfortable should we be with Zach Lee starting under center in game one?
Well, I think you're always uncomfortable when you have a first-year guy, and there's a history at Nebraska over the last decade or half of a decade at least that shows a cycle of quarterbacks, and when you go through a situation where you've got guys starting in 2 or 3 year increments, usually that first year is a pretty rough go. And that can go all the way back to the days of Steve Taylor and Tommy Frazier and, guys who, if you're not a senior, a fourth or fifth year senior, when you get that nod for the first time, there are going to be some bumps in the road. And it's why there is such an importance placed on having a solid offensive line and having that running game that you can rely on. You know, the receivers being a question mark this year is probably not a good year to have that. You need to have those guys, those experienced guys, like you've mentioned, Holt and Paul. They need to step up. They need to be leaders on this offense. And I think the tight end is a huge thing because the tight end is kind of a safety valve in the Nebraska offense. And since they've gone to this more intricate passing game the last 5 years, there hasn't been a tight end, with the exception of what Mike McNeil started to do last season, there hasn't been a tight end they've been able to go to with and have be a super consistent part of that offense. And to have McNeil back after the potential that he started to show a year ago, I think could be a real wild card for this offense and something that helps Zach Lee a lot.
Mitch, I think the tight end position is interesting because you got a tight end like Mike McNeil that can stretch the field vertically. When's the last time Nebraska's had that threat?
Well, they've had it a lot through history, but it's usually been back in the days when running the ball was their bread and butter, and they just put somebody on that play action on a seam route, and you'd see guys like Johnny Mitchell just tearing down the field, and how did he get 20 yards behind everybody? And you can't do that when you run the kind of offense that Nebraska has now. It has to be more of a sneaky position, unless you've got a talent like Oklahoma does in Jermaine Gresham. And in Nebraska, while Mike McNeil's a good player, he's not that kind of a player. So I don't know that you're ever going to see, as long as Nebraska stays in this offense that it is now, the kind of production out of the tight end that they got in the old days. But Mike McNeil can be a huge part of this offense. And I think he will be. I think it's a great thing. I think he's one of the players that Nebraska can least afford to have injured as they get going in fall camp and early in the season.
Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald, Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star, Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com, all joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's go to you, Sean. Let's switch it now. Except for linebacker, Nebraska's getting high marks on all parts of the defense and special teams. And with the way the schedule is for the Huskers in the non-conference, I don't think Virginia Tech's going to be putting up 35 points on us. Is this defense going to be able to be strong enough to carry the offense into Big 12 play?
Well, I think the biggest thing you're going to notice is the depth. When you redshirt 20 out of 25 of your guys, from a year ago, all those players are going to make an immediate impact in areas like special teams and on defense. And listening to Sean Watson talk Wednesday night in Omaha here, he said you're going to notice that linebacker just speed is going to be a lot better. Will Compton, Sean Fisher, Alonzo Whaley, that those three freshman guys gave the starting offense on the scout team this year all the fits they wanted in practice. So he expects just that speed to really show. He said this is the fastest team he's seen at Nebraska since he's been with the program since 2005.
Sean, obviously there are concerns about Blake Lawrence and the concussion deal. In your mind, how healthy is he entering fall ball?
It's hard to say because of the fact he didn't get much time in the spring. We'll get a good indication. The thing with linebacker, and I know Mitch and Steve would say the same thing, they really only are going to play probably two linebackers on the field for most of the year. And I think Sean Fisher, with the way he can cover at his size, he's one of those guys that's going to see a lot of playing time. I like Matthew May right now. I think he'll be in, out there quite a bit. The Mike linebacker spot is kind of the mystery, though. Will Compton's a rising player. Colton Kohler played well last year. But will Philip Diller get himself back into good graces and put himself on the field as a senior? Because obviously in the spring, he wasn't there yet.
I want to get just kind of a quick reaction from all three of you on this. Yesterday, Nebraska was picked to win the North and a tie between Oklahoma and Texas to pick the South. But we look at the all-conference team that was announced today. You got Alex Henry makes it as a place kicker. Okay. But Sue is the only offensive or defensive top 22 player to make all-conference. Sip, we'll start with you, then go to Mitch, then go to Sean. Should somebody besides Ndamukong Suh and Alex Henry maybe have been on the first team, or is that okay, Steve?
No, I think that's okay. I mean, if you look at the starters on this football team and compare them to the other guys, no. I mean, I don't see anybody. I think the closest you could get to a second guy might be McNeil or Hickman, but those guys are at, let's face it, Look at the tight end. Yeah. Look at the tight end position. You're not going to put McNeil over Jermaine Gresham, right? Yeah. You know, offensive linemen are hard, kind of hard to evaluate if you're not watching film. The bottom line to me is this. Nebraska, Nebraska needs to start putting more first-team all-conference guys if they're going to challenge for the Big 12 title. They haven't won it since 99, and there's a reason. You just don't see first-team guys much anymore. And until they get back to having 3 and 4 and 5 guys like Oklahoma and Texas, they're not gonna beat Oklahoma and Texas in the championship game.
And Oklahoma has 8 all-conference right. preseason. Oklahoma State 5, Texas 4. Mitch, your thoughts?
Well, I'd say first of all, go easy on my boy Alex Henry. You know, he won some games for him last year, so I'm just kidding there. You know, he's a kicker, but. He is from Omaha Burks, so I have to stick up for him. But Alex is a pretty good weapon to have back, and I think Nebraska is feeling really comfortable if the game's on the line and they need Alex Henry to go out there and make a kick. There are a lot of coaches who would really like to have the reliability that Alex Henry brings to your team after the last two seasons that he's put up. And secondly, you know, it's a lot more important to earn postseason first-team All-Big 12 than it is preseason first-team All-Big 12, and Nebraska's got several players who I think are in position to have years that would make them honors candidates if they break out. And every team can probably say that, but with Nebraska, and because of all the players that redshirted last year, because of the youth at certain positions, and then just because of the experience coming back at some of the positions where Nebraska is strong, tight end, running back. Nebraska has some experience at safety, but the players that Nebraska's lining up there just aren't as known, not as experienced. So far in their careers, not as good as the guys that Oklahoma and Texas and Oklahoma State can field at those spots. And notice all those teams I mentioned are in the Big 12 South, and if Nebraska was in the Big 12 South, I don't think we'd be talking about them being picked to make the league championship game, but they're in the Big 12 North. And the talent is a little more spread out in the Big 12 North, and I think Nebraska is as good a pick as anybody to be playing in Dallas in December.
And Sean, your thoughts?
You know, I think look at the NFL draft board for next year. 9 of the top 10 players on a lot of these boards are Big 12 conference players. That should let you know how good the talent is in this league. I mean, you've got 2 of the nation's top 3 quarterbacks, Bradford and McCoy, right there, and Zach Robbins. I mean, it just you talk about that first team All Big 12, I mean, it's practically the All-American team right now. And Sue and Alex Henry are the only 2 players that even had a case. I mean, you could maybe make an outside argument for Hickman, but there's some pretty good linemen in this league. And I don't know if Hickman's accomplished enough to be a first team preseason guy yet, but he definitely could be there by the end of it. But in terms of Nebraska winning the North, that's who I voted for on my ballot. When I sent it in, and I think the biggest reason why I picked Nebraska to win the North is I think the schedule of Kansas puts them at a disadvantage, having to play 3 games against Texas, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech.
Guys, with the league being so offensive, is it feasible to think you can go out there and win games with your defense and with a running game more so than putting it in the hands of Zach Lee? Sean?
You know, I think that's the thing. You want for Nebraska to make a jump in this league. I think they're going to have to do it on defense, having a solid defensive unit, and then running the football. Take the pressure off Zach Lee. Don't put him in situations like Sam Keller had to be faced with in 2007 when he'd come on the field down 21-0 in the first quarter. You have to put Zach Lee in some confident situations, and running the football effectively and having a consistent defense. I think that's the best ticket for success.
Guys, Sean touched on the schedule, and Tony and I have been talking, and just before the show, Tony looks at me and goes, you know, you're right. I'm a little more worried about Nebraska's schedule. I think there's 4 toss-up games. We don't want 4 toss-up games. That's a big swing in a conference record. So right now, as we go to Dallas, what is Nebraska's record? We start with you, Mitch.
Well, it's July 24th, and it's hard to have a handle on all of these things and break down all of these games. I think they've got a chance to be about a game better than they were a year ago, and they were 8-4 in the regular season. So if they can go 9-3, That's great. They're making great progress. But you start to look at that schedule, and I agree. There are a lot of variables on there. You have an injury here, or you know, something happened there, a suspension or some kind of unforeseen things. There's always those kind of things that come up throughout preseason camp and throughout the early points of the season that have that ability to really affect how things go when the Big 12 gets started. And Nebraska has to go to Missouri. Nebraska has to go to Kansas. Those are difficult places to play, as Nebraska has certainly seen in the last few years. I would by no means say that you can chalk those up as victories for Nebraska. You know, Virginia Tech is in that same category. Oklahoma at home is you know, an uphill battle. Even Texas Tech at home. Nebraska has had great misfortune against Texas Tech in the last 5 or 6 years. So there are a lot of games that are, I think, sitting right there on that fence, and several of them are going to have to fall in Nebraska's favor to make it to that 9-3 mark. But I think because of you know, some of the things that have happened in the program over the past year and the consistency that they're beginning to develop again, that they've got a chance to get to that 9-3 mark. And if they do, I think they'll be playing in Dallas.
Steve,
very similar year to last year. Like Mitch said, 9-3, 8-4. I think they're that type of team. I think it's that type of schedule. Well, no more. You know, I go back to something. I'll go back to something Mitch said early in this deal. The first time starter at quarterback is gigantic in this equation. And you go back and look at some of the guys. Frost struggled in that type of scenario. I remember distinctly Jamal Lord when he was a junior starting at Penn State in the din of that stadium and how wide-eyed and discombobulated he became. We'll know a lot more about Zach Lee when he goes to that type of scene at Virginia Tech. Now, it's not a night game, which is good for him. It's a 2:30 kickoff. But we'll know a lot more about Nebraska, obviously, after that game. Most important, we'll know a lot more about Zach Lee and how he responds against a very fast and athletic defense on another, you know, on a tough opponent's field. And then we'll all have a much better idea where this thing's going to go this year.
Sean, your thoughts?
You know, I got Nebraska right now going 10-4 on the season total. You know, I've got them going 9-3 in the regular season, losses to Virginia Tech, losses to Oklahoma. I think, you know, they're going to be decisive underdogs in both those games. Then I have them losing at Kansas but still winning the Big 12 North at 6-2. I think Kansas will go 5-3. And Nebraska wins the North, loses in the Big 12 championship game, but plays in a bowl game like the Holiday Bowl. And I think, like Steve just said, the season really hinges on the shoulders of Zach Lee. And, you know, talking to Sean Watson here this week or hearing him talk, you know, he said Zach Lee has the best arm talent of any quarterback he's coached or been around in 28 years. And if he can just teach him, he said, the situational football, he goes, that's the biggest thing with Zach. He's got by with pure talent alone over his career. But the net thing now is Zach had to learn how to play football. He had to learn situational football. And you just don't know how he's going to react to situational live football until you see him face a quality defense like he's going to see in Blacksburg against Virginia Tech.
Guys, I think up front with Sue, he obviously makes the defense, the linebackers and defensive backs look a lot better. But our defensive backfield, we've finally gotten to the point where that could be a real plus for this team. Steve, your thoughts?
Defensive backfield for Nebraska?
Yeah.
Daddy, you kind of broke up there.
Yeah, the defensive backs.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting more athletic back there. That's the big thing. And you're seeing more depth. I think they still got, you know, they're not where they want to be, though. I think they can hang in there. But, you know, it looks like you're going to have Prince Amukamara on one side, a corner, Anthony West on the other. I think Eric Haig, I really believe, is an emerging star. And that is a guy that you might see as an all-Big 12 player before he's out of here. You know, Anthony Blue, you wonder about Anthony Blue, how he's going to come back from the knee injury. You know, he was about 85-90% in the spring. And then O'Hanlon and Thanars, P.J. Smith, those are all guys that you can win with. But I don't, you know, I think they're good back there, but it's probably not quite where they want it to be. But there are a lot of young, good players in the system that you'll continue to see develop.
Mitch, tell me I'm a little bit more right. I kind of view this as a strength. Sip disagrees.
I think it can be. You know, I want to expand on one thing that Sip said about Eric Haig, and I totally agree. I think the light came on in a big way at the right time for Eric Haig in the fourth quarter against Clemson last year in the Gator Bowl. And, you know, he made two plays to save that victory for Nebraska. And I got to think that the momentum and just the confidence from that, and also the situations that Bo Pelini and Carl Pelini and Marvin Sanders are going to put him in, are going to only increase as a result of what happened at the end of that game. And I think we're going to look back on that situation and say, you know, if not a star was born, and certainly a very, very good player was born, somebody that you can rely on to be a playmaker. And it's been a long time, at least a few years, since Nebraska's had a defensive player who could consistently step up, at least a guy in the defensive backfield who could consistently step up and make those kind of plays behind the line of scrimmage when you needed to. And, you know, if that was just the tip of the iceberg for Eric Haig, what you need to have happen is other guys break out in that way. And then, yeah, you're going to have what you're talking about, Daddy. You're going to have a real strength of this Nebraska defense, be that back four, back five, or six, if you're in the dime package, and you're going to see that a lot. I think the great thing for Nebraska is that there are a lot of bodies, and they've really now kind of turned everything over from the last regime. It happened very quickly, but the number of guys who are in there who kind of have a clean slate, there aren't very many guys like Larry Asante left. And I'm not saying that it's a negative to have Larry Asante. He's a senior. He's somebody you can rely on. If he plays within himself and doesn't try to make plays that are outside of his responsibility, he can be a real strength too. But, you know, that's been something he struggled with for a couple years in Nebraska.
Sip, you don't mention him. Mitch, you don't mention him. Sean, give my boy Lance Sorrell some love.
I think it's going to be an uphill climb, though, Tony, with Anthony Blue back and Dennard. You know, those two guys, along with Alma Kamara and West, to me, those are the four main corners. But, you know, Eric Haig, I think with his versatility, he's a safety, but it would not surprise me if Haig is more their featured nickel guy, and the nickel corner is more or less a starter. So, I mean, I think Lance Sorrell will obviously have a role on this team, maybe more on special teams. But with those four corners I just mentioned, along with, you know, guys like O'Hanlon and Asante and Haig and Tanars back there at safety, I think, you know, there's definitely a lot more talent in the secondary. And year two of the system, I think you're going to see these guys make a big climb with Marvin Sanders.
Well, we've just about run our 30 minutes through here with Mitch Sherman, Steve Sipple, and Sean Callahan. So last couple minutes, let's have a little fun here. I think there's more toss-up games in the Big 12 this year than maybe there's ever been, with the balance in the North and three potential top 10 national teams in the South. We've made, as usual, quite a few crazy comments on the show before. So I'm going to ask each one of you, which is crazier? Because I've said them both on the show. I think Colorado can win the North. And I also said Robert Griffin is the most overrated player in the Big 12. Sean, which one is crazier?
I would say
they're both just so bizarre.
They're both pretty nuts, but I would say Robert Griffin is not overrated. I mean, I think he's a pretty good player. Look at his interception numbers. For a freshman to do what he did and throw that few of interceptions on a team like Baylor, you can't say that guy's overrated.
Mitch, which one's crazier?
I think they're both very crazy. I think Colorado. I guess I'd put them fourth almost by default, because Kansas State's a train wreck, and Iowa State, you know, is definitely rebuilding. So, you know, that's a little bit less crazy to say that Colorado's going to win the North than to bag on Robert Griffin. I love that guy. I mean, keep in mind he was a freshman last year, and at times Nebraska could have had 25 guys playing defense, and I don't think they would have caught him. He's a dangerous, dangerous player, and I think he's only going to get better, and it's kind of scary to think what he could be, not just at Baylor, but down the road in the future. He's somebody who I think is going to have a pretty bright career, even in the NFL, and regardless of what position it is. And I mean, he's athletic enough to play a lot of spots. He can hone his skills at quarterback. You know, we might be looking at a superstar.
And Sip, I know I've been drinking a lot of coffee. How about your thoughts?
Oh, you're an interesting fella. Colorado. Now listen, Colorado could win the North. I think you're fine on that. Their offensive line is going to be much better. They look to have, I mean, they have a good running game. You look at Speedy Stewart and Darryl Scott. They also have, people forget about Demetrius Sumlin. And you know, they're about three or four deep in the backfield. They don't have, they're like Nebraska. They don't have a lot of proven players at receiver, but they are good up front. They have one of the better. They were decimated up front on the offensive side last year, but those guys are back, and I think they'll have one of the better offensive lines in the league. You know, you're crazy. I don't know where you're coming from on the Baylor quarterback.
Well, everybody,
did you watch last season at all?
Now, okay. There is a Daddy threw me under the bus on this. There's a fine line I am walking here. I realize that. I'm not saying Robert Griffin doesn't have talent. I'm just saying all of a sudden everybody thinks he is on par with the top three guys in this league. I don't see that. Now, I can already tell that all three of you disagree, and we'll see how the season plays out. That's fine. Daddy, I know. That's fine. I got to go check my ego somewhere.
Well, fellas, before we let you get out of here, Mitch, I think Sean alluded that he likes Nebraska in the North. Who are your two teams fighting for that championship come the first week in December?
Well, I'll agree on Nebraska. I think because of Kansas, is kind of echo what Sean said, Nebraska is going to be in a better position, even if they don't win that game in Lawrence. So I'll take Nebraska, and I like Texas in the South.
Fair enough, Steve.
It always depends on kind of what day you ask, what kind of mood I'm in. Such a toss-up. I mean, I never know whether to pick Kansas or Nebraska. I lean toward Nebraska probably today, although I was on another show yesterday, and I leaned toward Kansas. So,
well, those guys don't know anything in Omaha, so don't worry about it.
Today I'll say Nebraska versus Oklahoma. So they'll play Oklahoma twice, and that won't be easy. But
sure.
I do like Oklahoma, although I think I said Texas yesterday.
I love it. I love it. Hey, Sean, who are you waffling on today?
I like Nebraska. I really go back and forth in the South, though. I mean, I just have a hard time picking against Bob Stoops. I just think he's too good of a coach, and he always has his team ready. So I voted Texas on my ballot when I sent it in, but my heart still tells me Oklahoma. If they get an offensive line for Sam Bradford, I just don't see how their offense can be stopped, and they already have, to me, the best front four in the country with the guys they return.
Daddy, I agree with Mitch. We haven't made our picks yet. Nebraska, Texas. Although, I'm going to tell you what, when I penciled it out, I guess I found a way for Colorado and Nebraska to be on par to play for the Big 12 championship, and it would be tough for Nebraska to win in Boulder if Colorado's got momentum. Who do you like?
Well, you know, it comes down to the Big 12 South, and I don't think that Oklahoma State, as good as they may have gotten, I just cannot see them rivaling Texas or Oklahoma still talent-wise. I think they may be getting close, but they're still not in that league. And for that reason only, let's go back to a year ago. Texas beats Oklahoma by 10 points, and Bob Stoops still finds a way to get in that title game. I'll take Oklahoma with Sean. I just think Bob Stoops has the magic in the Big 12 South, and somehow you get the Heisman Trophy winner, you get Gresham, you get those two running backs. You can go on and on and on. That's a machine. I think they'll play for the national title, obviously, after beating Nebraska in the North.
Stoops is the one that came up with that tiebreaker system, wasn't he?
Hey, I just had an email from Sean and Carney. He wants to know, did anyone mention Josh Williams, a redshirt freshman D lineman, and what we could expect from him this year? Anybody want to pick that up?
Well, guys, he'll probably be a reserve. You know, obviously, Barry Turner, he's getting back to 100%, and you know, with Pierre Allen, those are the main guys. I think Cameron Meredith could be the guy that would probably play more between those two. But I definitely think you're going to see Josh Williams get a little bit of time this season.
Guys, I know you're busy. I know you're on vacation. I know you're getting ready to fish. I know you're catching a tan sip. Hey, enjoy the weekend. All the Dr. Pepper you can drink is on us down in Dallas.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Take care. Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald, Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, Sean Callahan, HuskersIllustrated.com. They do an outstanding job. Daddy, I've got Nebraska winning the North, followed by Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, Kansas State, and Iowa State. I agree that Missouri-Nebraska game scares the bejesus out of me, and that would throw everything into a tizzy in the South. Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. The winner of the Texas Tech-Baylor game is going to be fourth. I've really got them tied for fourth and A&M sixth. Although, you know, maybe A&M beats Baylor and Tech and they move up to fourth. That's what it's going to come down to with those teams. And you made your picks. Any major changes there?
No major changes other than I still think Missouri. I know they lost all those position players, Chase Daniel, Macklin Kaufman, et cetera. I just got to think that they've been around, they've won enough, that Colorado hasn't been there yet. And until they get a taste, and then until they can prove to me that they can step up and win some of these games, I'm going to still put Missouri ahead of Colorado. But the bottom's pretty easy for me, and that's Iowa State and A&M.
Well, I hope we've whet your appetite. We've still got more on the Doug and Daddy Show. But get together with your buds and talk about what we've been talking about, Nebraska football, over lunch at the Chicken Coop in downtown Grand Island or Kearney. Lunch specials every day. Great food and drink specials every night. And you can watch everything you want on TV. They're televising media days in some spots. You've got college football live all the time. You've got every Major League Baseball game on. You've got the British Open. You've got women's golf. You've got the Canadian Open. You got the Nationwide Tour and the Cox Classic, which we'll give you an update on. Whatever you want to watch, they've got it for you at the Chicken Coop. Whether you just want a light lunch with a salad or an appetizer, or if you want a burger or a steak, or try their 12 plus flavors of chicken wings. And don't forget to try their new taste sensation, the Chislicks. They're melt in your mouth, tender sirloin tips seared in your favorite wing sauce. Add your favorite side dish, and these tasty steak tips will be an experience you'll think about all day. Just $6.99 with the side, anything you want to drink at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island. We are back with more right after this.
This is the ESPN Superstation's Doug and Daddy Show.
Live and unrehearsed. Unrehearsed.
You son of a hoe!
Unrehearsed.
Unfortunately.
StubHub! Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. Listen up, sports fans and concert fans. When it comes to tickets, StubHub is the place to go. The world's largest ticket marketplace, with a great selection of tickets to every game or show. Selling tickets? You can list them on StubHub. Reach millions of other fans looking. It's that easy. NFL and college football, folks, they're almost here. Buying or selling, StubHub backs everything with their Fan Protect Guarantee. Go to StubHub.com or call 1-866-STUBHUB. That's 1-866-STUBHUB.
When it comes to working around the house, never underestimate the value of getting it done right the first time. At your local Ace Hardware, our associates are always ready with expert tips on the smartest ways to get the results you're looking for. We'll give you simple, straightforward advice that will help you save time and money. So the next time you're thinking about starting a project, consider the value of having everything you need just minutes away at your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Sunny skies develop across the area through the day today with a slight chance of a storm late in the day with highs up in the mid-90s. Winds will also shift to the north late in the day at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight we'll see a slight chance for storms. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 82.
All right, back to Daddy's Show, Center Nebraska, DSN Radio Superstation. I want to go out on a limb and thank Steve Sippel, Lincoln Journal star Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald, and Sean Callahan for all partaking in our Husker Roundtable. 12 days, 12 teams. We wrapped it up with Nebraska earlier in today's program. I want to remind you that the Coors Miller four-person scramble is going on about a week from now, July 31st. You get a practice round. Call for tee times, 308-237-2553. Then 8:30 a.m. or 1 o'clock. Shotguns go on August 1st, and then depending on how you play, those shotguns will go on August 2nd. Two-day tournament. Saturday night, you got a banquet. You've got a Calcutta. Nebraska Land, Coors Light, Miller Lite distributors putting on the four-person scramble July 31st through August 2nd at the Kearney Country Club, $110 per person, 308-237-2553. Call today. Make sure you get your foursome entered so, well, you don't have to play at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, you get a choice on Saturday. We'll definitely be playing at 8:30 on Sunday morning, usually. Daddy, I go through, I pick who I think is going to win each conference game, and that's how I come out with who's going to win. I got Nebraska winning all these games. And, again, it makes me feel weird because I just, you know, going 7-1 in the conference and only losing to Oklahoma, I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to lose to somebody, which makes them 6-2. And if that someone is Colorado, then they'll have the tiebreaker. Both teams would have 6 wins in conference. And that head-to-head, it's pretty tough to win anything out of that. I mean, you need to have a game lead. You know, you got to turn it around 2 games. And I have Colorado beating Kansas, and I think that's the key. That's the key game in the Big 12 North this year that could set that up. And I just really, 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 really like Texas this year instead of Oklahoma. I've been in Oklahoma corner for a long time, but this year I like Texas.
I think you can break it down. There's so many talented players.
I can break it down?
On both. Oh, you can break it down the best of them. Hopefully I'll get to see that in Dallas as well. My toss-up games are still Virginia Tech at Missouri. I get a loss to Oklahoma at Kansas. And I even throw at Colorado in there.
You sure you didn't put at Baylor as a toss-up?
You know what? I got a win with a question mark right next to that. I think that's a game Nebraska should win because I think overall the talent level is better in Nebraska. But I don't like going down there. I don't like that game. I think it's a goofy place to play, and I think it could be a loss too.
Somebody that we didn't even bring up that if he's back 100% is Barry Turner. And this is a guy that, you know, he got hurt, you forget about him. I just haven't heard much about him. And if he's ready to go, him and Sue, hello. That's going to
Crick, Pierre Allen.
I mean, there's going to be some good players. Are they good enough? I think they are in the North. We've got another break we need to take here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll be back, wrap things up, give you an update on the Cox Classic, so stay with us.
This is the ESPN Superstation's Doug and Daddy Show.
Live and unrehearsed. Unrehearsed.
You son of my own!
Unrehearsed.
Unfortunately.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd. Everybody knows going to the post office is a hassle. Fighting traffic, finding parking, waiting in line, brutal. Waste of time. I've got a solution, Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can print real U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. No hardware to buy, nothing to rent. You can print postage for all your letters and packages right from your desk. It's like having a post office in your home or office. I've been recommending Stamps.com to everybody I know. Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer, no risk trial, plus a $100 bonus offer, including $45 in free postage. That's more free postage if you use my name, Colin. Try Stamps.com today for a no risk trial, $100 bonus offer. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone top of the homepage. Type in my name, Colin, Stamps.com, and be sure to use my name, Colin.
It's the one-of-a-kind summer sizzling sales event this Saturday and Sunday at Kearney Yamaha. Get hot deals like never before with prices so low they'll blow your socks off. Save up to $2,000 off new ATVs and motorcycles. That's $2,000 off, my friend. But you just don't save big on motorcycles and ATVs during the sizzling summer event. There are T-shirts for a buck, leathers as low as $10. You can also save up to 50% off on luggage. Wait, there's more big news. When you buy a new ATV or motorcycle this weekend, you get a chance to grab onto cold cash and keep it inside the cold cash cube. You'll be grabbing $1 bills, 5s, 10s, 20s, even $100 bills will be in there for your taking. That's the cold cash cube, and your only chance to get inside it is this weekend at the sizzling summer sales event at Kearney Yamaha. Open 10 to 5 on Saturday and noon to 5 on Sunday. Kearney Yamaha, just south of I-80.
ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather. Brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on 25th Street in Kearney. For a square deal and a fair shake.
If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motor Works. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
Sunny skies develop across the area through the day today with a slight chance of a storm late in the day with highs up in the mid-90s. Winds will also shift to the north late in the day at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight we'll see a slight chance for storms. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 82.
We're back, Doug and Daddy Show, Son of Brass, ESPN Radio Superstation. Way, way over time today, but I think it's a great show. Derek, what's going on over there?
Not much. You know, something that we haven't mentioned all week is that our very own Douglas Dean Duda has been honored with an award that we have not even mentioned. And I have a little clip here. I also have a sheet of paper. It says, the Nebraska Coaches Association annually recognizes coaches, administrators, media personalities, and others for their contribution to high school athletics. Douglas was named the 2009 Media Person of the Year. And Craig, our general manager here, actually had the chance to catch up with Steve Johnson, the executive director of the Nebraska Coaches Association, a little earlier this week. And here's what he had to say.
The media award was set up several years ago by the Nebraska Coach Association Board of Directors to recognize the contributions by media people in the promotion of high school athletics. We felt it was essential that we recognize that group of people because without the coverage that they provide, particularly smaller communities, the coverage would be very limited. There's not much radio, there's not much TV, so the written media is a lot of what they're able to provide and provide information to families. The part of the smaller communities, the smaller markets, and initially I think it was more for the smaller markets that didn't have radio coverage or television coverage that this was kind of intended for. But since then we've had, you know, television people, radio people, you know, Chuck Stevens out of Lincoln was recognized a couple of years ago. And but the thing that I know when our board looked through and saw what Doug had contributed, he was nominated by Rick Petrie of Kearney Catholic. There are several here. Sam down at Minden High School. They talked about one of them talked about the Doug and Danny show, is that what it was? Radio show, you know, interviewing local high school coaches and not just immediately in that area, but, you know, throughout central Nebraska. So the key thing is recognizing the contribution of kids and, you know, whether it's through coaches or interviews with kids or whatever, but it's to recognize the accomplishments of kids, and that's what we appreciate what he's done for high school sports. Doug was nominated, has been nominated several times over the years, and the board felt it was appropriate at this point to recognize him. And I mean, the coaches get down to talking about a wrestling rally. It's just interesting what he's done. It's more than, you know, it doesn't sell ads probably either, but it does do a lot for recognizing high school sports. So that's what we appreciate.
Douglas Dean Duda, the 2009 Media Person of the Year. So anything you got to say to that, Doug here?
Well,
you are a great Nebraskan and a great American.
Well, that was very nice. That was very nice. I appreciate Steve saying that. I appreciate our boss, Craig, putting that together. And when Steve said I'd been nominated many times, well, it just goes to show that finally everybody else has won the award. No, Walt Smith won it last year. I was so proud that he won that award. There are some great people that have won that award. Stu Pospisil, Riley Jane Hamilton, Bob Jensen, of course, has won that award. Mike Glessinger out at Alliance, who actually hired me the first time ever in Ord. You know, thanks to him. You know, Brian Gallagher, Grand Island's won it. Steve Altmaier here in Kearney has won that award. Scott Posey, a buddy of mine, and O'Neill has won the award. There are a lot of people, and I guess when you're around long enough, you get to know just about everybody that's on that list. Kevin Kugler won the award once, so I'm actually in the presence of greatness. Kugler's going to do NFL this year. He's leaving college to do NFL for the Westwood. But, hey, I want to thank not just Rick Petrie and Sam Dunn, but all the coaches. It makes sitting in the snow and doing playoff games when it's 0 degrees
except
worthwhile.
Except Omaha North. That was crap.
It makes sitting in the bleachers at the old Gibbon High School worth it. It makes all the trips and the hours worth it, and the 4 or 5 nights a week and all the time we do. I really am grateful for receiving this award. Sunday night is the banquet, so I'm going to that in Lincoln Sunday, then hopping on the plane bright and early Monday morning to head to Dallas for media days. And, you can't thank everybody, but I want to thank everybody for doing that. That's great.
Douglas, congratulations again. We go to the phone lines here. We got Andrew from Kearney on the line.
Andrew, what's up?
Real quick, Mark Burley, is he a Hall of Famer?
You got to think he is.
Just because of the no-hitter in the perfect game, or I think we got to wait a little while, don't we?
Oh, I don't know, do you?
Oh, interesting. Andrew, thanks. Boy, Tony.
I'd have to look at career.
Think he's headed that way. I think he's headed that way. If his career ended today, I don't think he'd get voted in. But again, the stats now are not going to be, the stats in 5 years that these guys are putting up, we're not going to have any more 300-game winners. We're not going to have any more guys like Mariano Rivera in the save category. It might be that he is one of the best, if not the best, of this era. I think Mark Burley is definitely, for where he's at right now, a Hall of Fame pitcher, meaning he's as good as there is.
I go back to the names on this list. 1990. Can you name the complete game, people? People that threw the perfect game? Since 1990. People that threw the...
Well, David Cone.
Okay.
He threw one. Randy Johnson threw one against the Braves. How many are there?
There's three more.
Perfect games, huh?
Perfect
games. Pedro Martinez?
Nope. Although Dennis Martinez from Montreal did versus the Dodgers in 91. That was one of them. Kenny Rogers, the roaster, threw one along with David Wells.
Oh, God.
I mean, think of the names.
Which I guess just proves anybody can throw one if Wells threw one. But, no, that was great. Mark Burley. And I totally disagree with Eric Casilius that wasn't exciting yesterday. Just once again proving that all he knows is football and nothing but football. He went on that rant before this show. And, oh, you love him, I don't. I think he's good at what he does, but he's just so blinders on that it just makes me want to vomit. But it's been a great show, so let's not end on that note. We want to thank Mitch Sherman of the Omaha, at least we thought it was a great show. We want to thank Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald, Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star, Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com to wrap up our Big 12 preview. And if you missed any of it, go to the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and the Courtyard. Great place to spend a weekend if you get some time. Check it out, especially if you're in from out of town. Have fun at baseball. We'll keep you up to date. Next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the show goes from 11 to 1 or whenever from Big 12 Media Days in Dallas. Daddy, have a great weekend. Thanks to Jennifer and Jill at Trails and Rails.
Hey, I look forward to seeing you, Douglas, Monday morning, and I look forward to seeing all of you on the Doug and Daddy Show Monday.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.